Can we take a moment and invite God into the room? Good evening. My name is Christian. I'm a recovered drug addict. Lee, I might disappoint a few people. I might offend a few people. Thank you for your kind words. Thank you for the people who put this together. Thank you for asking me. It's an honor and a privilege. Never in my life did I think I would or want to do anything like this. So it's always an honor. You know, in the literature of our program, it talks very specifically of what we're supposed to talk about when we tell our story, and it says each person, in their own words, describes in his own point of view the way he establishes his relationship with God. And that's what this program is about, and that's what I'm here to talk to you about. But the first fact that needs to be true is, why did I need him? Right? I'm not going to get too much into growing up because it's kind of irrelevant, right? We all come from different walks in lives. There's no one that anyone can do to you or no way you could be raised that turns you into what we have become, right? It's through our own manifestation that we became this way. However, as a kid, I suffered from what I later was told a spiritual malady, right? When it was explained to me, I recognized it immediately. As a kid, I always wanted something to make me happy. The next video game, the next bike, the next something, whatever it may be. And in my mind, that was normal, was okay. Fast forward to 12 years old, I made it to my first treatment center. I was there for 3 days, insurance ran out, and I became well, right? You can go home now, sir. I was escorted by the police to this treatment center. My mom called them on me, came home high off PCP, and apparently she was not okay with that. So off I went 3 days later, back down, good to go. It wasn't, so from 12 years old to 25, I was enjoying life, doing whatever I could do. Found heroin, found the needle. Life was good for a long time until it wasn't, right? Because the dope fixed the one problem I had. It was never my problem, the dope. It was the solution for the spiritual malady that I had. I was never okay. When I shot that bag, I was okay, right? By the age of 25, I made it to my second treatment center, right? And between 12 and 25, I didn't like have these 5-year runs. I probably would have died. I had about 3-month runs with couple year vacations, right? And at 25, went to treatment with the misconception that heroin was my problem. If I could stay off the heroin, life would be great. And let me say this. Every time I shot a bag of heroin, I shot a nickel rock. they were hand in hand, right? I didn't smoke crack. I shot it. Smoking was a waste. By 25, I'm in treatment. My life is fucked up. The longest job I hold was probably 2 weeks. Was I did not exist in life, right? Just a couple months on the street, back to an institution, couple months on the street, back to an institution. So I go to this treatment center, and that was my first experience with Cocaine Anonymous. They had a meeting there every Friday night, as well AANA, you know. And I wasn't really trying to hear nothing that they said. I paid attention, but the God thing, I looked at it like going to a meeting and talking about my life ain't going to help me. And I knew the truth then, because going to a meeting talking about your life ain't going to help you. Right? I was conscious enough to know the truth then. I'm like, this is bullshit. I don't want to hear this shit, right? As long as I don't do dope, life will be great. Left that treatment center, continued to drink and smoke weed. life was not okay, found the best solution again. I always knew, went back to dope. But that first exposure took me through a 5-year cycle of trying not to drink, making meetings, and failing one day at a time. Right? That was ineffective for me. I could not drink one day at a time to make the meeting the next day. It was impossible. I could not just get high to go to a meeting. And, you know, 5 years passed of going to meetings and relapsing, going to meetings and relapsing, going to meetings and relapsing. And like, talk about feeling like you don't fit in. I would be at the meeting, and the meeting would end, and everyone would get together and talking about we're going to go eat. And I would be by myself smoking, a broke soul, right? And the point came where I thought 12-step fellowships were either the people were lying or they weren't like me. Another fact I found out later to be true. So I ended up in another institution, right? And they had this wonderful man who God has chosen him to save countless lives. He ran a 12-step group in this facility. And so, you know, 5 years of this, and it's what I know to do, go to a meeting, right? So I went to this meeting inside the institution, and that man handed me this actual book, same book he gave to me. He asked me my name. I told him, and he asked me if I knew, if I'd been exposed to recovery, if I knew about recovery. I said, absolutely. I know about recovery, been in a lot of recovery. And his response was, you don't know shit about recovery. Right? See, a lot of people call us assholes, but we have to remember only the truth can offend. Right? If someone tells you a lie, you cannot be offended by it. So if anyone gets offended tonight, please check your truth. I was offended, right? This dude, and this is my mind, right? This guy had no legs. He had prosthetic legs. He passed out, got ran over by a train. The man's story's all fucked up, right? And so he tells me this, and I'm thinking, dude, I'll sweep your legs and rob you, man. Like, who are you talking to, right? I'm a tough guy in jail. But he gave me this book. And he told me to read a doctor's opinion and more about alcoholism, and there is a solution, right? And I went back to my little cell. And through the grace of God, I had one thought. What if he's right? Because something about this man, his presence was different from most people I've seen, right? This is his aura. There was something about this man. Later, I found out he had what they call a spiritual experience, right? So I started to read the book, and I continued to go to his classes. And one thing I knew for sure, after reading the 3 chapters he told me to read, I knew these people suffered from what I suffered from who wrote this book, right? They went into masterly detail this thing called physical allergy and mental obsession, which I've heard, they have it in the reading, they skim it, right? The big book spends 44 pages on it. That's a quarter of the original book, right? And I went back to this guy and went back to his classes, and he kind of went into what they talked about, you know, in the book. Just in case my reading comprehension level wasn't up to par, he explained it to me again. Because some of us can't read, right? That's where good sponsorship comes in at. And, you know, the physical allergy, that's the one thing I recognize. I heard people in a lot of meetings talking about what happens when they drink, right? Once they pick up, you don't know what's going to happen. I know for me, once I picked up, the cuffs always came. Every time. Right? I understood that. What I didn't understand is how come every time when the cuffs came on and I sat for years and I swore up and down, I'm never going to get high again. I'm never going to get high again. The day they released me, they could hook me up to a lie detector test. Are you going to get high today? My response would be absolutely not, and I would have passed that lie detector test. 10 hours later, I'm high. How does that happen? No one explained that to me. That's the one thing I don't hear talk about. And see, I have this mental obsession that only happens when I'm sober. So I came to meetings and they told me that sobriety was the answer. And if anyone's new here, sobriety is not the answer. Every time I was sober, it became a good idea to get one, and this time I'll be cool, right? The answer we offer in Cocaine Anonymous is this thing called a spiritual experience through the 12 steps, which you have to be sober to start. It's the beginning, and it's not the end result, right? And this gentleman explained this to me. And, you know, this obsession, and it wasn't, I used to hear people talk about the compulsion, the obsession, and I used to think it was this thing that always, I want to get high, I want to get high, I want to get high. But that wasn't it, right? That's a craving. That's not the obsession. The obsession is, I'm going to get high. I'm in automatic mode. I'm on the blue line on my way to the west side of Chicago. But as I'm going, there's no turning back. I'm in automatic mode. But my mind is trying to convince me how this is going to be okay. This is going to be okay. This time I'm going to do half a bag. I'm going to talk to my pro agent. He ain't going to come for about 3 days, so I'll pass a drop. As long as I don't catch a habit, my life will be good. And that's what no one was telling me, right? And he explains to me, and it didn't take long to really look at my life. And it just clicked instantly, and it talks about it, right, in working with others. Explain the attempts you have made to quit, not what you did getting high. Explain the attempts you have made to quit. If he is an alcoholic, he will understand you at once. I understood at once. This man suffered from what I suffered from, 100%, right? So he after explaining it, he's like, so now I'm going to give you the short-term version of it. If you have this, it means one thing. You will get high again. Right? Because I used to come to these rooms, and I used to tell myself, I'm never going to get high again. The literature tells us we recover from a hopeless condition. If I know I'm not going to get high, I'm actually the opposite, and I can't recover. I'm full of hope. But once I know no matter what, I'm going to get high again, I now suffer from that hopeless condition that I can recover from, right? Look at my life. I got high every time. I didn't have no triggers, this trigger stuff. Right? I got high with a girlfriend, without a girl, with a job, without a job. Rain, snow, sleet, I was like the postman, right? No money, I'll take yours, I'm going to get high. And then they put cuffs on me. So I understood that. And then he brought me to the second step, right, which they watered down real phenomenally. But the book, it tells you real simple, right? When we became alcoholics, that was true for me way before I ever knew it, crushed by a self-imposed crisis, that was me now. We could not postpone or evade. I can't save it for later. I can't duck the subject. God either is or he isn't. What is my choice to be? Period. Right? When you get to that state where you know no matter what, you're going to get high again and you're going to die and you exhausted every single option you have tried, that's a real simple choice to make. Right? I was at this halfway house I go to, and they had like this forum to try to make their success rate high. 12 steps. It's real simple. And this lady said, we got to teach these people that they can have fun in sobriety. I didn't come here because I wanted to have fun. I came here because I was dying. The only reason why I came is because I was dying, period. If I wasn't dying, I wouldn't have been here. So understanding that and the desperation of a drowning man, which it talks about we should have, the decision was real simple, and I made it on my third step. I'm going to turn my life and my will over to the care of God as I understand him. I may not know what that means, right? And it talks about for people who have a problem, as soon as we lay aside prejudice, right, which means a preconceived idea, and you've become even willing to believe, something's going to happen. Though none of us can define or comprehend that power. So watch out for anyone who tries to tell you what God is. I can tell you what he's not. What he is for him to decide in your heart for you, right? But I cannot be confused about what that power is, which is God. It says it through our literature over and over again. Somehow we're still confused. And so that took me back at first, because now I think my prejudice, my preconceived idea, I was raised Catholic, and I think of the Catholic Church, and I think of all Catholicism. And there lies the difference between religion and this spiritual program of action that gives me the spiritual experience, right? I could go to church and talk about God once a week and read about God, or I could do the 12 steps and experience God, right? And that's what this is. We didn't come here to find God, but if you do this work, you will. So, you know, that, and keep in mind, I'm still in the county jail, right? And I had the third step took me a minute, because I'm a perfectionist. So I wanted to have this idea of God. Little did I know he will fill my heart with his own conception for me, but I had to base it on something, right? So I read the Quran, the Bible, all type of books, and I came out with the best answer I could come up with. I don't know. God, show me. Present yourself to me. So I could have a bit of my own understanding, because I read everyone else's, and none of them make shit. I don't know, right? It's kind of like skydiving. I could sit here and I could tell you about skydiving. And you could read books on skydiving. You could do all this stuff skydiving. Until you jump out that plane, you just don't know, right? And that's what this is about. This is about jumping out that plane. So I jumped out the plane, you know. And then, you know, the fourth step talks about our alcohol was but a symptom. My heroin was but a symptom. Crack cocaine was but a symptom. The new video game was but a symptom. Shopping was but a symptom. Gambling was but a symptom. There's a reason why the 12 steps are broken down into all these different subcategories, because they're all but symptoms. I had to get down to causes and conditions, right? Which self, which had defeated me, manifested itself in me in various ways, defeated me, right? You guys start talking about the Catholic priest that touched him as a kid, now I'm a drug addict. The Catholic priest may have touched you. He never gave you a fucking rock. Right? Never gave you a rock. So I went through my fourth step and learned that selfishness, self-centeredness was the root of my troubles. And above everything, and that's important, right? Above everything, we must be rid of this selfishness or it kills us. We got to have God's help. But someone told me this once was a selfish program. I don't know how that works. Right? I got to be rid of self or I'm going to die. So I went through, and then the fourth step gets so complicated, and it's the simplest thing, man. It's a series of lists, observations, prayers, right? And like everything else in this program, the relief comes through the prayer. I could sit here, the resentment list, I learned nothing new. It all came out of my head, so that obviously I learned nothing new. I wrote it. The observations, you know, I'm prepared to look at this from a different angle because it holds the key to my future. First, let me pray for these people so I can have some understanding of what they did to me that made me angry. If I could understand what they did, I will no longer be angry. But again, I have to have God's help. God, give me some understanding, patience, tolerance, pity. Now let me look at this from a different angle. Where was I wrong? Not what part did I play? Because if I only played a part, I'm still holding them for their part. Where was I wrong? Period. Right? And lo and behold, I was wrong in every one of those. Figure that. Fearless, you know. I had this great idea as a self-proclaimed convict. I don't fear anything, right? And, you know, it dawned on me. I used to go to these different places, and I used to think I was some tough guy. And the only reason why I fought is because I feared what someone would think of me if I didn't. Talk about driven by fear. It's a fabric that corrodes our lives, right? Everything I did was based on fear. How do I get rid of that? Oh, there's a prayer for that. Second prayer of the fourth step. And then, you know, when in the sexual harms. You know, and there's an instruction in there I think a lot of us forget, right? We are not the arbiter of anyone's sex conduct. We all have sex problems. No one here is a relationship counselor. My opinion on sexual relationships is none of my business. The book tells me so. We want to stay out of this controversy is the term they use, right? But I knew I had problems, and I knew I had to look at them, which I did. And lo and behold, here comes selfishness again, right? So the fourth step was very eye-opening. And again, the writing isn't where I learned anything. It's in the observations and the prayers that removed it, right? And wrote my fourth step, did a fifth step. And, you know, this literature kind of throws little hints at us, right? It talks about God and another human being, which would mean God is not a group of human beings. Two separate entities there, right? So I did my fifth step, and I told someone the truth about me, because there was a lot of people that knew bits and pieces about me. But if you put them all in the room, I'd like short circuit, because I had to be 85 different people. Because I was always presenting the stage character, no matter who I was in front of. And I could never be myself, because I didn't know myself, nor was I comfortable with what I might find in self. Right? But in the fifth step, there was a big piece where it talks about the exact nature of my wrongs. See, in my fourth step was a lot of my character defects, none of it was the exact nature of them. Why did I have them? And for me, that was a real simple assessment once explained, to acknowledge my whole life I had no faith in God. I pretended I was one, but deep in my heart I knew I wasn't, which led to all type of discombobulations, right? Went home from my fifth step, sat for an hour, reread the 12 steps, was my work so far up to the point I was at? Is did I keep anything back? More importantly, more prayer. God, thank you for letting me know you better, right? Because it was the first time in my life someone actually knew everything about me. And there wasn't no... It's hard to explain, but it was kind of like... I remember being dope sick and doing a bag. It was the same thing. I exhaled, right? I was okay. And it talks about in the promises of the fifth step, you know, that the drink problem, the thought of that is going away, comes kind of strong, right? You start to know something's actually happening in your life, right? Looked over six, was I ready and willing to have these shortcomings removed? Absolutely. They've been killing me my whole life, right? This whole time I thought it was heroin. Humbly ask God to remove these shortcomings. And here for me, when people talk about all these different terms they like to use for God, the answer when I work with a new guy, when he comes up with whatever conception he comes up with in his heart, will it work for step seven? Right? I know I can't ask you guys right now to remove my nervousness. You guys are incapable. So that will take out that whole group of drunk story right there. You guys aren't capable of removing my defects. I need something deeper. I can't skim the water with this, man. And we need to tell people the truth, because people are dying out there asking a group of drunks to help them. The book says we're beyond human aid, if anyone else needs further clarification. Um, I asked God that night to remove my shortcomings, right? And again, I have no idea what this God is or who he is, and I'm not going to try to defend him, comprehend him, or explain him. I know one thing. I was dying. I asked for help, and he changed my life. Keep it simple. The one thing that actually makes sense on the slogans we use. So I prayed again, second time that night, right? Actually, the third, because I prayed during my fifth step as well. A lot of prayers going on in these 12 steps. It's kind of funny. You don't hear them talked about too much. And then it said, look over 8 and 9. Step 8 was real simple. I made it when I took inventory. My 8-step list was my whole damn book for my 4-step, everyone on it, right? And that whole, unless it's going to hurt someone else, it's not too many people that are going to really be hurt by me making amends, right? Which step 9, you know, for... Step 9 wasn't really done immediately because, again, I was in a facility where I couldn't have access to people, right? So I actually didn't do no 9-step amends until after I got out. But one thing was real clear. It was the format on which it was done, right? Because I used to think, you know, make amends, damn, my bad, dude. I took all your shit, my bad, right? The word amend means to change, right? So to make amends is to change the relationship. So I got this format of what to say. It goes in, again, masterly detail. If my manner is calm and frank, be calm and frank. To the point. Don't argue. My wrongs are to be discussed, not theirs. It that's one thing with this program, right? In the foreword to the first edition, it says this purpose of this book is to show others precisely how we have recovered. And I'm sure most people understand the definition of the word precise, right? And then later on it says, if you're asking how or why, is the purpose of this book to answer such questions specifically, we shall tell you what we have done. Notice they didn't say they tell us where they went. Tell us what we have done, right? It's about doing something. So after explaining the wrong I did, I had to ask one last question. What can I do to make this right? When I completed their response, then the amends was complete, right? So I could go and talk to someone that I just stuck up for a stack and go there broke and tell them about, okay, I just made amends. What can I do? I want my $1,000 back. That amends ain't crossed off that list, right? Until I give the man his $1,000 back, you know? So just to kind of make sense on where this went, from that correctional, and let me say this. While I was in that facility, there were quite a few members from this fellowship who came in there and carried this message, right? From that correctional facility, I went to a treatment center where, again, there were a lot of members from this fellowship who came in and carried this message. And then they picked me up and took me to more Cocaine Anonymous meetings where they carried this message, right? I was going to start getting down. You know, and from that group, so I wasn't confused. I knew something happened. I knew something in my life has changed. I inside, right? So while this was happening, I had no idea I was going to a treatment center. My offer from the state of Illinois was 8 years, right? And I knew this worked because through this process, I became okay with that. No matter what you do, I'm going to be okay, right? And I don't know if they have it up here in Wisconsin, but in Chicago and Illinois, they have this wonderful thing called drug court, right? And my experience with the legal system was fundamentally different from this program. All the people who run it, the state's attorneys, the probation officers, they're all CADCs. It's phenomenal, right? They're actually trying to help people and not lock them up. And they let me into this program. And so from the county I went to this treatment center they sent me to and met some more wonderful people from the Fellowship of Cocaine Anonymous, who then took me to a meeting of Cocaine Anonymous and then sponsored me through the 12 steps again through the fellowship of the program of Cocaine Anonymous, right? And, you know, I got into it with the counselor, right? Because, I mean, when this book was given to me, it not that any of this matters, but it's been almost 10 years, and I haven't stopped reading it since, right? So I just sat in my cell and read this book all day. Is there that or play spades? Kind of years of playing spades gets old, right? But one thing, so I was real exposed to what this what really was, right? And I'm in this treatment center with these counselors. God bless their hearts. They mean well, right? But intentions only get us so far. I'm very an asshole, as people what they call me, right? I was told that twice already tonight. It's okay. I'm okay with that. It's better than a lot of things I used to be. But you couldn't sell me a dummy bag no more on recovery, man, is what it came down to, right? I was not buying no more dummy bags. I bought them for 5 years. I wasn't buying another one, and I was very adamant about that. And so the counselor snapped out on me one day. She's like, this big book's going to get you in trouble. You don't say. I said, well, here, and I'll leave her name out of it. I'll make this real simple for you, right? I told her. I said, every Wednesday night, there's a group of guys up here, about 10 guys, who come up here, and they all have big books in their hand. Every Friday night, there's another 10, 20 group of guys that come up here, and they all have big books in their hand. What night does your guy come? What night does the guy who did your treatment center program come and tell me about his experience with your treatment center program? Produce me one. And my counselor was sitting there, and he's like, Christian, stop. Yes, sir. Remember, only the truth can offend, right? Confused about what this is. So I went to this 90-day treatment center with a new sponsor, because the guy, obviously, in jail. One thing I'll say about this man in jail, he lost his job. He was actually paid by the county to do this 12-step class. It was a full-time gig. And they fired him because he talked about God too much and he refused to lose his integrity on the message that he carried. And he lost his job for it. Right? He was armed with the facts and by himself, and those facts don't change if you have integrity. So while in this treatment center, I got a sponsor, because again, this guy's in jail. There's a bunch of guys with big books in their hands, and they're all saying the same thing this one guy said. Lo and behold, there's more than one, right? Got a new sponsor, 1, 2, 3, 4, did it all over again, you know, which I was willing to do because I seen the effect the first time, Dad. And this is in less than a 9-month period. And then I got out of this treatment center. Went to a shady little halfway house. And then from that little shady little halfway house, I went to a three-quarter house where a Sunday morning meeting of Cocaine Anonymous, quote-unquote, became my home group, per se, if that matters, right? But then I got to do this wonderful thing called the amend process for the first time. And I remember the first amends I made was to my mother. And it felt weird. My relationship with my mother was unattached, if that makes sense. Right? It was almost like there was no connection. No, very, very weird. And it's not like she abandoned me or gave me drugs or anything. She was a single mother. She did the best she could. And I did the best I could, right? But I don't know how to explain it. Maybe I was incapable of being attached to anyone my whole life and just didn't understand that. I don't know. But I made amends to her, And I went through my spiel. You know, I've been real my life. I've been selfish and self-centered. These are the things have I done. Did I miss anything? Who told you to say that? Okay, good talk. Hence the unattachment, right? What can I do to make this right? Keep doing what you're doing. You'll be amazed how many times you hear that. Just keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing what you're doing, right? Another thing with amends I want to point out is financial amends, right? And this is kind of in the literature, per se, but filing bankruptcy ain't one way to make amends, right? It says to call our creditors and arrange the best deal we can. It doesn't say call a lawyer. I don't work under Illinois law anymore. I work under the 12 steps of Cocaine Anonymous in the spiritual program of living. And they got this wonderful thing that made paying my financial amends real simple. It's called Credit Karma, right? Bust out this app, and it had a list of every phone company I got a phone from out of trickery, right? Every unpaid ticket, whatever it was. And it was simple. We look at the totality of our debt, and sometimes it could be discouraging. But we forget we tapped into a power greater than ourselves, and we can do a lot of things. So it was real simple for me. I first one on the list, called them up, made the best deal I can make. Cool, I'll pay you $10 a week, my friend. Paid them off, go on to the next one. And lo and behold, I paid them all off, without calling Leakin Law Firm, whatever crazy-ass commercials are on TV. But step 10, right? I give this was told to me. It was the guy who gave me this book actually wrote it, but the page is gone, right, on the front page of the book. He told me to read page 84 through 88 every day. He said these four pages contain the way to live this program on a day-to-day basis. And then he gave me a promise. If you live these pages, you will never get high again, right? So it tells us, step 10, we continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. And then it has this real simple set of instructions, and they even got time references. It's the coolest thing, right, the amount of precision and specific detail they give us. When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them, right? So I have to continue to watch how my day is going, right? I hear a lot of people talking about, at night I did my 10-step. Dude, if I wait till at night, I'll be doing it in the county jail, right? I'll be doing it in the project somewhere. In an abandoned, broke-down elevator on floor 11 of some project building. I have to continue to watch for things. When these crop up, I ask God at once to remove them, right? Talk to someone immediately. Make amends quickly if we have harmed anyone. And then the key piece to this wonderful program, then I resolutely, which means to resolve. So I resolve it by turning my thoughts to someone I can help. Right? And we have this misconception that means people in the program. There's a whole world of people, man. There's a whole world of God's children walking around that we could just offer assistance to. You may make someone's day. It will definitely make yours. That I can tell you, right? One of the things also read to me in the very beginning. So I go through 84 and 88 like almost immediately with my guys, man, because it's never too early to start trying to live a spiritual way of life, though you may not be able to. That's for God to decide, but it's never too early, right? But the promises that are detailed in the 10th step, I've actually had people in these meetings tell me it's impossible, and it just blows my mind how someone thinks their opinion is over the literature of our program. And I'm going to read some of them quickly because there may be someone here who doesn't know, right? We will seldom be interested in liquor if tempted. We recoil from a hot flame, right? And I heard the phrase, think through the drink. So I propose this question. If recoil from a hot flame, if you put your hand in fire, do you have to think to move it? I can't think my way out of this, man. I've tried for a long time to think my way out of this, right? This book tells me I won't have to think. I will recoil from it. We react sanely and normally, right? That insane thought of, well, I'll do a half a bag today. That's not my reaction no more. My reaction is I will not be okay. I told my wife if I ever stop going to treatment centers to get away from me because I'll take everything she's got, right? I will not react sanely in anything I do. We will see that our new attitude toward liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That does not mean by osmosis that the only effort required is the 12 steps. That is the miracle of it. And I heard people tell me, don't leave till the miracle happens. And I know a lot of us are guilty of saying it. And I propose the next person that tells you to ask them precisely what that is and see if they give you the only answer in our literature. We are not fighting it. Neither are we avoiding temptation. I don't have to duck people, places, and things anymore. We feel as though we have been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. I'm going to say that again. The problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. No one told me this, man. They told me I got to just hold on one day at a time for the rest of my life. I got to avoid people, places, and things. I got to watch for my triggers. Right? We are neither cocky nor we are afraid. This is our experience. So this is what they said you will get if you do the program that they entailed. If you didn't get that experience, I suggest you do the program. This is how we react so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. How do I do that? 10 and 11. 12. Right? Step 11, you know, when we retire at night, constructively review our day. So that's the at night part that people say is a 10th step. But on the fly, I stress and I chase perfection, ideal, but as a human being, I fall short. And I got this 11th step where I can constructively review my day, and I can see where have I been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, afraid. What did I do about it? Did I make amends quickly? Have I harmed anyone? So it's my backup in case I miss it on the 10th step. I shouldn't miss it on the 11th step if I'm honest with myself. Right? And those two things, you should be on your way, right? So then I got to step 12, our wonderful step 12, right? Cocaine Anonymous is a wonderful fellowship, but I think sometimes we get confused on its purpose, right? We have but one primary purpose, and that is to carry this message, its message, to the addict who still suffers, right? They give us this wonderful promise, nothing so much ensures immunity from drinking is intensive work with other alcoholics. And, you know, the purpose, if you narrow it down, like, keep it simple, right? Our purpose is to pass information to a newcomer. That's it. To find a newcomer, right? If you don't know any alcoholics you want to recover, perhaps you can easily find some. So it tells you, you're supposed to go look for these guys, right? And it talks about it on page 18, the man who was making the approach, was properly armed with the facts about himself. And page 99, if you fail, seek out another alcoholic and try again. So it tells us who is supposed to be making this approach, which I think back to me standing by myself smoking a cigarette after the meeting and not one person made the approach. As a fellowship, if our job is to pass information, heck, no one knows it. How can we pass along information that we don't know? And every day, twice a week, I don't even mean I go to our treatment centers. period, unless I'm asked to come to one of these. My time is spent with dying. I'm a fisher of men. I seek out dying alcoholics to tell them the truth, right? And every week, who is new? The same thing that was done to me. Who is new? Have you been in recovery? Yeah, everyone's in treatment. Very rarely do you get a guy who's never been, right? And then I ask him one question. Do you know what it means to be an alcoholic? And the response is always, well, to me, for me, never, very rarely, I don't want to say never, that'd be a lie, very rarely do I hear a guy tell me. And so when they say, I've been to AA, I've been to CA, a lot or a little? Oh, a lot. I've been to 18 treatment centers. And what does it mean to be an alcoholic or a drug addict? Well, to me, and I get some bullshit, right? And so I propose this question. We all agree that this is a medical illness, right? The AMA says so. So I ask a diabetic what it means to be a diabetic. They're all going to give you the same answer. My body does not produce insulin. He ain't going to say, well, to me, if I eat an apple, he's going to give you, right? He's going to tell you what it means to be diabetic. If we got guys who have been to 150 meetings and they don't know what it means to be a drug addict, someone has failed them. We are responsible, right? We are responsible. Even if you learned that your truth tonight ain't this truth, as a member of Cocaine Anonymous, 12 Step, carry this message. Not my message, not my sponsor's message. Carry this message. This message is the message laid out in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Let's humble ourselves and realize maybe we were taught wrong. Let's get back to basics, because I don't know about you guys, but people are dying out there, man. And I wonder how many people were like me. Once they were finally told the truth, their life changed. Right? 10 years ago, the longest I worked was 3 months. The totality of my total employment for my life was less than a year at 30 years old, right? Today I have a beautiful wife, 2 kids, a house that I own, which being a convicted felon and a drug addict, he said these things ain't going to happen for me, right? I have a lot of things that said people told me weren't going to happen for me. We need to quit doubting the power of God, right? So, you know, I'm blessed where you know, in the back of the book where it talks about a different fellowship, right? Some of you may have heard the term the fellowship of the Spirit. There's a sub-fellowship within this organization, and it's not widely talked about because the requirements are a little bit more than a desire, right? Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And it's capitalized, which in the English language means a proper noun. They're talking about something specific. And thank God that fellowship found me. Right? The promise of the 12 step to see people recover, to see a fellowship grow up about you. You know, I had members of this organization claim that I am actually not a member because I'm not part of their fellowship. Right? Because I don't go to the meeting you go to. Again, I'm a fisher of men. I go where the dying alcoholics and drug addicts are. So if I didn't make your meeting, I apologize, but I was busy saving lives, or at least trying to. And you know, with that, I'm going to try to be humble. And again, I would stress, because the newcomers don't come till tomorrow, so most people here, I would presume, have some time. We got to carry the same message, because there's only one message of Cocaine Anonymous, and it's laid out in this book, right? I'm so grateful that someone finally told me the truth, that God gave me the clarity and understanding to recognize the truth, and I had the desperation to seek Him like I was drowning, because I was. This fellowship is phenomenal. It saved my life. The people doing the deal of this fellowship saved my life. The people who came to the correctional centers, to the hospitals, institutions, and carried a message with death and weight saved my life. And for that, I'll be ever grateful to Cocaine Anonymous and those men, but more importantly, God. Right? And that's all I have. Have a good night, guys.